Welcome to Giant Cocktails Happy Hour, a podcast where two amateur mixologists introduce homemade cocktails and discuss what makes each one a giant hit. Now, here are your hosts, Ben and Matthew Henry.
Welcome back to the Giant Cocktails Happy Hour. Oh, the 200th episode of Giant Cocktails, where the drinks are as mixed as our topics. I'm your host, Matthew Henry, the maestro of muddling, ready to stir up some fun and shake things up a bit. And joining me, as always, is the man, the myth, the mixology maverick, Sir Benjamin of the Boundless Bar, Knight of the Infinite Infusion, wearing his cape made entirely of cocktail napkins and wielding a shaker that's rumored to have been Merlin's own. So grab your favorite glass, listeners, because we're about to pour you a double shot of entertainment. How you doing? I don't even know which honorific to choose. Sir Benjamin of the Boundless Bar. That sounds kind of cool.
That's pretty cool. That is, and also, this is not Merlin Shaker. I'm Merlin. And what was that one with the knight? The knight one was...
You're Knight of the Infinite Infusion.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
That is cool.
Yes.
Yeah. No one's ever been a Knight of Infinite Infusion before, I think.
That's right. That's right. We are all infinitely infused by my cocktail wisdom and my biting wit.
Sure.
And 200th episode.
Can you believe it?
No.
I can't either. I haven't stuck to something like this long ever. I mean, you know, like it's pretty amazing that we just keep like sitting down every Sunday evening and recording.
Yeah, I was going to say exactly that. I was going to say, Matthew, you haven't stuck to anything ever. I mean, you give up when things get easy, when things get hard. Because you forgot you were doing it.
Well, there's, you know, that. There's the whole ADHD thing. I don't feel like I'm alone in that.
No, I think I'm definitely projecting there. I'm definitely projecting. I don't know how the two of us did anything 200 times, much less something 200 times together. Yeah. So anyway, those are good honorifics. And let's see. You know what, Matthew? The last few weeks, I have not been talking about my week, how things have been going on. And see, folks, this show, this particular show, Happy Hour, we try to make it 30 minutes long. And, you know, it ends up being like 30 to 35 minutes long.
The problem is that we talk for like 45 to 50 minutes.
Yes, that is the problem. And a large part of that is Matthew's fault. He just goes on and on.
Yes, that's just totally me.
But sometimes it's me. But so what's happened is that I edit the podcasts later on in the week. So we get a little bit tipsy as we make the show, and then I edit it later in the week in the morning when I am perfectly sober. And the last few weeks, I've started listening to the podcast, and I get really frustrated because I like to make everything perfect. And Matthew and I, we talk over each other all the time, and I like to tease that apart so we're not talking over each other. And it takes hours. And then suddenly I will hear my own annoying voice in my ear say, "How you doing, future Ben?" And it's me. It's drunk me from Sunday night from my closet harassing me. And it is both hilarious and surreal. It's like having a conversation, a one-sided conversation to which future Ben cannot respond. And it's amazingly frustrating. And so this past week, Matthew, I had an episode like that where I was just getting super frustrated. And then all of a sudden here my voice comes in and starts telling me, like, I did this to myself, and I'm calling myself some F words. Like, I'm dropping F bombs on myself. And I just started laughing because I couldn't. I was like, it's true.
Drunk Ben knew. Yeah.
Drunk Ben knew. He did. So salud. Future Ben, this one's for you, and I'm showing you the middle finger right now. Yeah, I know. You're welcome.
All right.
So that's my week.
All right. Well, that's your week, and I can't really. my weeks all just blend together at this point. Just kind of, I'm on a routine, same old, same old. But 200 episodes means we've got a lot of experience under our belt. We know a lot about cocktails, but I got a question for you.
Okay.
So I've been running out of things to ask you on these questions. And so I turned to my good friend, ChatGPT, and I asked it to give me a series of did you knows as it related to spirits and cocktails. And it gave me a handful of them. Some of them I would probably have to fact check. But I did not fact check this, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway.
Okay, good.
Did you know that the term proof used to measure the alcohol content of spirits comes from a 16th century English test for the potency of whiskey? Did you know that?
I did not know that. I mean, it seems, okay, I'll buy it. Proof. You prove, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, and so apparently soldiers would mix whiskey with gunpowder and try to ignite it. And if it burned steadily, it was proof that the whiskey had a sufficient alcohol content.
Well, and if it was overproof, it blew up.
Which would definitely prove that it had sufficient alcohol content.
Right, right, right. And if you could later light your farts on fire, then it was cask strength.
That's how we got the different strengths.
Yeah, those are the different measurements.
Got it. Got it. I didn't know that. ChatGPT didn't add that one on there, but that's a Benism.
Yeah. Did you also know? I mean, did I know this? No. This sounds apocryphal. This sounds not true. And knowing ChatGPT the way I do, that guy's a liar. He's an effing liar.
Yeah, yeah. He told me that the Sazerac was the first cocktail. All right, so I don't know if we'll keep going with these, but I panicked in a moment of planning and thought ChatGPT will save me. And I thought that was interesting. Yeah. And it was so interesting that I didn't even want to prove that it was wrong.
Right.
So maybe Scott will look this up for us.
Scott. Tell yeah, us. Yeah. It's, Scott. Hey, Scott, yeah. Get on it. Let's see here. So for those of you who don't know, Matthew and I count our seasons of the show on opening day. That is the beginning of the new season, opening day of the Major League Baseball season.
So we are still in season 3 of Giant Cocktails. We're in the last month of the season and, you know, the rookies are playing.
That's right. That's right. Because we're well out of the playoffs.
Well, you know what time it is.
Is it that time?
Sure, why not? It's time for Tip of the day, Ben.
Tip of the day.
So today's tip is about flavor enhancers and modifiers, specifically bitters and salt. Now, we haven't talked a lot about salt, especially in our cocktails, but there has been kind of a movement. There's been some talk around saline solutions in cocktails and all that. And we haven't really dipped into that. I haven't really explored much of it, but I got to thinking about it today because my cocktail actually has a pinch of salt in it and also has some bitters. And the reason I wanted to bring this up as a tip is because I actually borrowed a template from another cocktail, which I'll talk about when I introduce my cocktail. But I added bitters that wasn't part of the original recipe as a way of really modifying the recipe and taking it in a different direction. And I feel like that's a really great way of switching things out. You know, adding something that could give it another layer of something interesting that totally changes the cocktail. So the bitters thing, you know, and be careful because you can definitely fall down the bitter rabbit hole. I mean, there are lots of bitters out there, and frankly, they're not cheap for the amount of bitters that you actually use. But for me, I've got Angostura, I've got Peychaud's, I've got orange, I've got black walnut bitters, I've got cherry bitters, and then I've got the others. The ones that I bought at one point, like celery bitters. Like, I'm really regretting that one. Like, I celery bitters don't go and get it, folks. I was going to even introduce a cocktail with celery bitters. And I was like, why would I do this to my listeners where I had to make them go out and buy celery bitters? Just don't do it, folks. Don't. But bitters can be a way of enhancing your flavors. And I feel like that's an area that we haven't really talked much about. And, you know, when we get back to my old fashioned recipes, that's a crucial component of the old fashioned, and swapping those out absolutely can make an old fashioned go in a different direction. But it's the same for any cocktail, really. And so just goes to show that you can totally take bitters and make it something different. And as for salt, you don't want a lot because you don't want it to be salty. But salt can definitely, like salting your food, bring out flavors and enhance flavors. And so just a little pinch will go a long way. So that's my tip, Ben. You want to add anything?
So, you know, one of my favorite cocktails is really just a gimlet with 2 to 3 dashes of Angostura bitters added to it. And it's called the Fitzgerald. It's made with lemon juice instead of lime juice. But so it's, you know, it's gin, lemon juice, simple syrup, and then 2 to 3 dashes of Angostura bitters, and in a 2:1 ratio. And I got it from the 12 Bottle Bar book, gosh, over a decade ago. And that is one of my favorite go-to drinks. It's super easy to make and super clean. And what the difference maker is the bitters. So I completely agree with this 100%. Salty and bitter is better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Genuine.
Yes.
Real.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's not you this month, because you're in your month of sweetness. Probably time to start talking about cocktails.
Probably. We probably should.
So last week, I think I mentioned this at some point, but I was invited to a party with some friends, and I offered to bring a batch cocktail, and I did. And so today it was such a hit that I decided that I'm going to bring it to the show. And, you know, I've come up with a lot of creative original cocktails, but this isn't one of those times. I actually stole this recipe. Well, the original recipe that I stole this from is one called Bronarmy's Army or something like that. And it was from a hotel that I attended in San Diego that I had this drink, and it was way too sweet. But I felt like it had potential. I needed to make it myself. And so I recreated it the way I thought it should be created and came up with a much more palatable and nice cocktail. But then I went back to that one because my guests or the people who were hosting the party said that they would prefer a bourbon cocktail. So I went back through my list of recipes and I found that one, and I thought, and its primary Amaro was Chinar, and which is an artichoke based Amaro, and it's quite bitter and has a very distinct flavor and can be lovely. But at this time I decided that I'd swap that out. And so this is what I did. I'm calling my cocktail a New Horizon, and for reasons that I won't get into here. But maybe I'll get into it after I've described the cocktail. But so a New Horizon has 2 ounces of bourbon, 1/2 ounce of Averna, 3/4 ounce lemon juice, 1/2 ounce of orgeat syrup, 1 dash of cherry bitters, and a pinch of salt. There you go. You got the cherry bitters and the pinch of salt.
A little bitterness, a little saltiness. Nice.
Yeah. And so the original one, the Bronarmy's Army, had bourbon and chinar, lemon juice, and orgeat. And I can't remember if it had the salt or not. I think it did actually have the salt. So what I did is I swapped out the chinar for Averna, and then I added the cherry bitters. And so you take all those ingredients and you put them into a cocktail shaker with ice and you give it a good shake, 10 to 12 seconds. You definitely want this well chilled and diluted. And then you're going to double strain it into a rocks glass with a large chunk of ice and garnish it with a cocktail cherry. And what you get when you put this all together is definitely, it's a sour cocktail, and you get that the Averna and the lemon juice give you this punch of sour right off the bat. And then the orgeat, which is very sweet. Orgeat is a very sweet syrup, definitely works and takes off that bite and really mellows it out. And you get this little aftertaste of cherry that is quite lovely. And The bourbon is kind of there, but there's all, it works so well with all the different flavors that you've got going on there. And I actually am really proud of this cocktail. And I will say, though, that if you are going to batch this like I did, you have to know that orgeat is a terrible syrup to batch. Okay, because it's got a high fat content. And if you let it sit for a long period of time, the fat will separate from the rest of the cocktail, which is fine because you just give it a good shake before you pour and it all incorporates back in. But it is a little unsettling when you see a cocktail that you've carefully put together and then all of a sudden you open it up and there's this like layer.
Tasty.
Yeah, you're trying to impress your hosts and it's like, you know, this separated cocktail. But I just told them, I gave them a little education on what was going on there. And they were all very fascinated by the orgeat. And then I gave it a good shake and it was a hit. So that's what I'm bringing today. The New Horizon. And I just, the reason I'm calling it a New Horizon is because I've had changes in my life over the last few months that have now created opportunities for new horizons. And so this drink was kind of indicative of that. And this party that I went to kind of felt like a step in that direction. So I'm naming this drink the New Horizon in honor of that. So cheers, Ben.
Well, cheers to new horizons, new journeys, new old cocktails. The original version, Matthew, you called this the Brown Army Navy.
That's it. Yep.
And maybe this was a play on the Army and Navy?
I think so. Well, that was their name. I didn't name it. It was the name that was from the hotel.
I like this. I mean, I like that. Well, first of all, what I like about it is that you've got your homemade orgeat.
Yep.
You have the cherry bitters and the pinch of salt. This is like, yeah, this is like you, Matthew, taking all of the things that you have learned under my tutelage and now, you know, putting that all to great effect to create something better. You know, I don't want to say you're the Anakin to my Obi-Wan.
Maybe.
Maybe you're the Ahsoka to my Anakin.
Maybe, yeah.
Right, yeah. No, I like this one a lot. So how does it come off? Is it come off as a whiskey sour? Is that sort of like the base and you can definitely tell that?
Yeah, that's definitely the whiskey sour is there. The orgeat is that nuttiness definitely comes through. The almond flavor is very prominent. And so, which, you know, takes it in a totally different direction than a traditional whiskey sour. But I must say, actually, the original, I think the Brown Army Navy has 1.5 ounces of bourbon. I upped this to 2 because I felt like the bourbon needed to compete better with all the other ingredients. And I also wanted a little bit of oomph in the drink. And so added a little bit more bourbon. And that actually made a big difference because it was a little too sweet, I think, with the 1.5 ounces of bourbon. And when I upped it to 2, it definitely sang a little bit better. So
yeah, this also kind of is a cross between like an old fashioned, because it definitely has the old fashioned sort of profile to it with the bourbon and the bitters and the orgeat, right? And then you're shaking it instead of stirring it, but you have the water there, right? So you remove the lemon juice. This is if you remove the lemon juice, this is an old fashioned.
That's a good point. Yeah, I should try that next time. Yeah.
You add the lemon juice and you remove the Averna and the bitters, it's a sour, right? Or even with the Averna, it becomes like what I call a fortified sour. Yeah. And then, yeah, so it's really just sort of like a cross between those two. And it's interesting because you shake it and then you serve it double strained in a rocks glass with a single chunk of ice. So it is like straddling those lines.
It is. And I guess you could serve it up if you wanted to. I just felt like this was a nice one. I like the ice kind of melting in the drink because it definitely, even as the ice mellows it, it's still quite lovely. And this has been sitting here for about 20 minutes now, and it's still very nice.
Well, that's very important. Yeah. You want a cocktail. I mean, one of the goals of making a great craft cocktail is to have a cocktail that has durability in it, right? Like, a lot of times when we're making cocktails and we're making recipes, we taste them right away when they're ice cold, straight into our serving vessel, and then we're like, and that's what we evaluate it based on, is like how it tastes at that moment. But at a bar setting, or at a dinner party or something like that, that is not how people consume their cocktails. They take their time, and you want to create a cocktail. The true ideal is to create a cocktail that can hold up over that time, right? Where the person's not guzzling it. And there's a lot of factors that come into play with that, right? Like, because the temperature of the cocktail is huge, because that's going to affect things like sweetness and bitterness, right? The colder it is, the less you're going to notice bitter and sweet. So if you're shaking it, it's going to be very cold. But then if you have ice diluting into it, that dilution is going to replace the cold, this extreme cold, and continue to try to keep those sweet and bitter flavors muted. And in this particular cocktail, you have a lot of sweet and you have a lot of, like, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say bitter, but you have the Averna and the bitters playing that role. And so, yeah, this is really, wow, Matthew. Anyway, we should probably get to my cocktail now.
Yes, please. Let's do that. What are you drinking, Ben?
Well, Matthew, thank you for asking. I am drinking a sweet cocktail because this is my month of sweetness, my month of positivity. So I am drinking decadent, just crazy sweet cocktails. And it turns out most of these cocktails, Matthew, they're coming from the 80s. And what's amazing...
As someone who used to say the word sweet...
Sweet!
...all the time in the 80s...
Sweet.
I can... It makes sense. Yeah.
Dude. Sweet dude.
Man, we gotta go to shred the gnar later.
Totally. Anyway, I am presenting the Golden Cadillac. And what is in a Golden Cadillac? Well, a Golden Cadillac has 1 ounce of Galliano Italian liqueur.
That's the one with the big old pyramid bottle, right?
Big, giant, skinny yellow bottle. I have one here that is the 375 milliliter version, which is the appropriate size, folks, because it will actually fit in my bar. This like one is so, like, you know they made the bottle so that you had to store it up and high and visible so that everybody could see it. And that's why the bottle is the shape that it is.
Yeah.
Because it won't fit anywhere else. Well, I have one of the 375 milliliter bottles, so it fits in my bar just fine. But that is the primary ingredient to the Golden Cadillac. So you'd have 1 ounce of that. I don't know if I said that. 1 ounce of Galliano, 1 ounce of creme de cacao. Matthew, I did it.
You bought some creme de cacao?
I bought some creme de cacao. Creme de cacao, not cream of the cow. Creme de cacao. I mean, interestingly enough, the other ingredient in this cocktail is cream of the cow. So it has creme de cacao and cream of the cow in it. Those are two of the three ingredients. So 1 ounce of creme de cacao and then 1 ounce of heavy cream.
It's a perfect cocktail.
It's a perfect cocktail. I don't know if you can call it perfect if one of the ingredients isn't a spirit or a liqueur, but I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say you can. It is a perfect cocktail. So it is one part Galliano, one part creme de cacao, and one part cream of cacao. And you put all of those in a shaker with ice. You shake them for 15 seconds. Give these a good hefty shake because you got some serious liqueurs in here and heavy cream. They need to be well incorporated, and they could do with some dilution. They really could. And not for the alcohol content, but for the heaviness and the sweetness. Then you double strain that. Again, just like the mudslide, you really want to double strain this cocktail because ice chips are just not compatible with the creamy consistency of this cocktail. You double strain it into a Nick and Nora glass, and it comes out to be a really kind of like yellowish golden, hence the name, color. And yeah, it's... Well, let me just taste it here again to get my bearings. It's sweet, folks. It's really sweet. But the thing is, I like this a lot better than last week's mudslide. And I think that's because I like the Galliano, which is the star of the show here, a lot more than I like the Bailey's Irish Cream, which was the star of last week's show. Now, the Galliano is a super interesting liqueur because it is a liqueur. It is very sweet. And I'm going to taste this here on the show without the cream and the creme de cacao. So it is very yellow.
You're just going to chuck it straight from the bottle like that?
No, I've got a little shooter here. See?
Okay. All right.
And it's kind of like a greenish color. It's like almost, a yellow chartreuse almost. Yeah. And color consistency. It has a very, very botanical smell, very reminiscent of Benedictine.
Mm. Okay.
In terms of its aroma. And then it starts anise flavored.
Mm.
So you're like, oh, this is licorice. But then the finish, it just doesn't finish like that. The anise flavor fades very fast, and then it kind of just goes into this kind of like menthol-y, like herbaceous kind of like finish. And then it's just sweet. So, you know, I don't know that this is my favorite liqueur in the world, but I'll tell you one thing I do like about it, Matthew. Like the Dom, this is a high proof liqueur. It is 42.3% alcohol ABV.
Wow.
So that is an 85 proof
liqueur. Yeah. You don't see that very often.
Liqueur. Which, no, you do not. And unlike Dom, it is really sweet. So if you're looking for something sweet that also carries a high ABV, this is a tool that you could put in your tool shed. I don't think it's the greatest liqueur ever in terms of flavors, but it is a nice enough flavor profile. But anyway, it's an interesting tool, and I don't mind having this in my bar. And I don't mind the cocktail that it created in the Golden Cadillac, because I don't find it to be as cloying as I found the mudslide to be.
So this isn't a dessert in a cup.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I would call this a dessert cocktail for sure. It is definitely a dessert cocktail. Like, I think what I'm doing is I'm singing its praises because I'm comparing it to the mudslide. Like, it's just an overly sweet cocktail. There's no getting around that. This is an overly sweet cocktail. However, it's not cloying. It's not too sweet. So I think if that's what you're looking for, it is the right cocktail for that situation. And I really enjoyed it when it's ice cold, when it first comes out and is off the shaker, because it just really plays well with being very cold. And yeah, I like this one.
Yeah. Well, in your show notes, you have I don't know if you mentioned this, so you garnish it with a dash of cinnamon.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
And so I wonder how that on your nose must be really nice when you take that first sip.
It's very nice. And I think it kind of, it counters off with the herbaceous kind of profile of the rest of the spices in the Galliano. And I think it just creates another level of depth in the flavor.
Anyway, so your month of sweetness is leading us down this interesting path of 80s reminiscing cocktails. I mean, you and I both were not of drinking age in the 80s.
Nope.
And so we wouldn't have been experienced this. It's almost like getting a drink from Tom Cruise in Cocktail, right? I mean, you're getting these kind of like very interesting sounding names and very sweet cocktails. So sounds like this is going to be the month of 80s as well.
It might be. And I think that's just because it's kind of happenstance. Like, these were the cocktails that were super popular because they were super sweet. But, you know, there is one 80s juggernaut that I do see come up, like, because I've been doing some searches on sweet cocktails,
mm-hmm.
obviously on the internet, and there's this one that keeps coming up, and I'm like, that doesn't sound like a sweet cocktail to me, but it's definitely from the 80s. So, and that is, and it's a classic, and I'm putting air quotes because, well, classic doesn't mean good, right? It just means old.
Right.
Okay. So I'm contemplating coming back with the Cosmopolitan, Matthew.
I think at some point, there's got to be a Ben Henry original.
A Ben Henry original. Yeah, but and it can't be the bitter and salty. The salty and bitter.
No, it's got to be sweet. A sweet cocktail.
It's got to be sweet, yeah. Wow, okay. Wow. Okay. So you're saying I have to create a heavy cream cocktail, is what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying you have to create a heavy cream cocktail. I'm saying you have to create a sweet cocktail.
We're from the 1980s, which means it's gotta have heavy cream in it. it's gotta have heavy cream. It's gotta have an obscure spirit.
Yeah, it's gotta have like blue, like something blue. Like I don't know, like something.
Right. And if you find it today, it's gonna have dust on it. It's gotta be like a scene out of Goonies, you know, where Data like just goes into the back bar and he finds an old dusty bottle of rum and some weird Cuban liqueur and a dead pirate, you know, pirate skeleton. And then he just like concocts some recipe that he finds in the guy's hand. Yeah. So, Matthew, I'm going to pick something. A Ben original is coming. You're right. I definitely need to make one. But I think I'm going to also make one more classic. So I'm going to make one more classic, and then I'm going to use those three cocktails to guide me towards a Ben original to finish off my month of sweetness. And, well, there you have it, folks. The New Horizon and the Golden Cadillac. If you liked either of these cocktails enough to make one yourself, or maybe you made something better, take a scot of it, sponsored by Giant Cocktails. Or maybe just paint a word picture of it and send it to us on Instagram, the Twitter, formerly known as Twitter, Threads, or Mastodon. We really love to interact with you all, and it really helps the show. You know what else helps the show, Matthew?
Telling a friend. Or an enemy, or anyone, telling people about our show, whether it's like in casual conversation or just like in a really unnatural segue into a new conversation, or retweeting or redistributing any of our social media content. All of that helps the show.
Right. Okay, Matthew, let's do a little role playing here. Ready?
Okay. Yep.
Hey, sir, can I see your license and registration? Do you know why I pulled you over, by the way?
No, but have you heard the podcast Giant Cocktails? I highly recommend it.
Have you been drinking tonight, sir?
Maybe. Okay, maybe don't bring it up then. That would probably be a bad time. Now that I'm thinking this through. There are times that you don't need to bring that up.
Right. Okay. Yeah, my bad.
But in line at the grocery store, you know, just, you know, some very innocuous times. Just randomly mention Giant Cocktails. I think it would go a long way.
I totally agree. Totally agree. And on that note, we'll see you all next Monday when we will be drinking these very same cocktails while Matthew and I talk about...
The San Francisco Giants.
The San Francisco Giants. I'm just realizing, Matthew, that we may continue to talk about exactly when Ben will be drinking his...
His Negronis.
Negronis?
Well, right now it's one, but I am confident there will be more.
As of recording this podcast, it's one. By the time this podcast goes live, it better be effing two. Because if I'm drinking one Negroni, I better be drinking two Negronis.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. Well, until then, Matthew, cheers, my friend.
Cheers, Ben. Bye, everybody.
You know, want to know the secret, folks? I actually love Negronis. Goodbye!
Thank you for listening to the Giant Cocktails Podcast. Until next time, bottoms up.
Lies. Lies, he tells you.
They're the worst. Like, I honestly do not understand why anybody goes around and be like, oh, yeah, Negronis are so good. They're so well balanced. I'm like, this is crap.
I was looking on Reddit today and the cocktail subreddit, and the first thing I saw was, I really love Negronis. Does anybody have any other advice on cocktails? And I was like, I'm going to keep scrolling on that one. Nothing that I recommend is going to be up your alley if you love Negronis.
Yeah. How about a bottle of bile?
It's funny how you mentioned like how far I've come in episode 200. I look back in the first like 10 to 20 episodes and I'm pretty sure I made a cocktail with a popsicle at one point.
You did. So you made one with a lemon curd and you made one with a popsicle.
And I was really proud of that.
Yeah, you were.
I might try and recreate that one.
Yeah. Yeah. About
it. But definitely a little bit more sophisticated. Mm-hmm.
You made some with jam. You've made some with... You've made some with cereal.
Those are all... People do that, Ben.
And that might be a cocktail that I can't see how I'd enjoy it.
Anyway, cut that out. I don't want to sound like I'm stupid.
You don't want to sound like a idiot?
No.